keep praying for them. All right, Psalm 37. I'm giving you a handout this morning, just something to that you can, we'll refer to it a little bit there, and I'll tell you what we'll do when we get to that point. Psalm 37, verse 1, we'll read verses 1 through 8. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In those eight verses that we just read, that word fret is used three different times. And if I get a show of hand, how many of you in here have ever fretted about anything in your entire life? All right, the rest of you? Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. May not be telling the truth this morning. And if I went around the room and asked every individual about what it was that there's been a time in your life, what did you worry about? What did you fret about? Likely, everybody will have something different that they worried about. We all worry about different things, but we also all worry about the same kinds of things. How many of you ever worried about money in your life? Okay, yeah. How many of you are worried about whether you're going to make it to church safely because of snow on the road? Okay, amen. All right, we all worry and tend to worry in our lives. We tend to fret in our lives. But you know, that's not the way that it ought to be in the Christian life. And I'm not here to say that as a Christian, you should never ever fret, you should never ever worry, and that if you do, you're sinning and you're out of the will of God. What happens though, I mean, we worry. Things come into our lives and we begin to fret. The question is, how are we going to handle those situations when something comes up in our life, and sometimes it's the same thing over and over again that comes up in our life that we fret about? Maybe it is finances. Maybe it's about a loved one, a lost loved one, and we fret and worry about that. Maybe it's our children, and we're fretting about whether or not they're going to grow up and follow the Lord and love the Lord and serve the Lord. I fret about that. Those are the types of things that I worry about. But what we want to learn how to do is that when those things in our life come up, how are we going to handle those things? How are we going to have victory in the Christian life? Because I'll tell you, you can't have victory in the Christian life if you're constantly worried, constantly fretting. You know, in this life as a Christian, we're called to be soldiers. We live in a battle each and every day. And a soldier cannot be victorious if they're constantly fretting and constantly worried. So what we want to look at today, I've just titled this the Victorious Cycle of Christian Living. The Victorious Cycle of Christian Living. And please, you know, this is just the handout that I gave you. It's something to look at. For me, I'm a visual kind of guy, and it's something to look at to help me understand this better. Maybe it'll help you understand, maybe not. But as we go through here, you'll see that I've got the words written down on the left-hand side. I actually have an acrostic for each and every one of those. So I've given you that. You can make notes on that if you so desire. If not, you know, you can chuck it when you get home, or you can put it up on your refrigerator, whatever you want to do with that. All right, the first thing, though, that we want to look at is the fret here. In the very first verse, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Like I've already said, there are a lot of reasons in the Christian life why we fret. Sometimes we're fretting because of the things that are going on around us and the things that other people are doing. There's a lot of evil in this world, and there's a lot of good cause to fret. All you got to do is turn on the news for just a little bit, amen? And you see all of the things that are going on in this world. The problem is that for some reason, we as Christians like to meditate on those things. And we like to worry about all of the things that we have no control over. My parents, I love my parents, but I got to tell you, my mom, she spends about 18 hours a day, it seems like, Fox News, just watching all the news that goes on. If she's not watching the television, she goes over to the computer and she pulls up the news on the computer. And she's always constantly frustrated and worrying about things that are going on. I guarantee you right now, she's worried about the snow. Okay, she saw that she's got the little thing that blings up on her computer and says, you're going to get this much snow. And she's worried about that, okay? But we don't have to fret about those things. But a lot of times we fret about what's going on and about the evil that's in this world. If you jump down to verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Sometimes we look at those around us who are prospering. who are doing well. We question the Lord and say, Lord, I know that they're not living for you, but yet look at how well they're doing. It seems like they always have everything that they need. They always have food on their table, and as a matter of fact, even more, and in their abundance, they're always healthy, and things just seem to be going right for them and not for me, and I'm trying to serve you. Anybody ever been like that in their life? That's one reason why we fret. And then you go down to the next verse, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. We fret for many things. The acrostic there, if you want to write this down for fret that I put down, when we fret, we forfeit rest every time. When we fret, we forfeit rest every time. God wants us to rest in Him, and we'll get to that word in a little bit. God desires for us to be at peace. He is the God of all peace. He gives us rest over and over and over again. The psalmists talk about how he gets rest from the Lord. He seeks the Lord for rest. Rest is that place where you can find comfort. You can find peace. But when we fret, it's the exact opposite of the rest. And we forfeit that rest every single time when we fret. So the question then is, when we start fretting in our lives, when the worry comes in our lives and the things that rise up, whatever that may be, and sometimes it's good things. Sometimes we're fretting, like I said before. You know, I pray every single morning, and I dwell on my children's life in the future. And I think about them. I see where they are right now. I see where I would love for them to be 4, 5, 10 years down the road. I want so badly for my daughters to marry a good, godly man. I'd love for them to, and I, you know, if it's a pastor, great, a missionary, great, I just want them to find a good, godly man and marry him. I want them to keep themselves pure until the day that they're married. I want them to continue following the Lord in the same way that we've tried to give them the example. But I can worry about that sometimes, and I can fret about those types of things. The question is those things that we start fretting about, which may be good things, that's a good thing to concentrate on, a good thing to pray about, but it's not a good thing to worry about. And the first step when we start fretting in our life is that we need to commit that thing to the Lord. And you'll see that, what you'll see there, you've got the little circle. I was going to draw it up here this morning and figure nobody would be able to see it, so I just gave it to you on the handout. You see, it's a circle. You see, we fret yesterday, right? Anybody fret yesterday over anything? How many of you think you're going to fret over something today? It's continuous, isn't it? The worries that come into our life, the fret that comes into our life, we don't just, oh, good, I worried about that yesterday, I'm done, now I'll never have anything else to worry about the rest of my life. No, it keeps going. So when it pops up, what are we going to do? The very first thing that we're going to do is commit that to the Lord. Look down at verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. First thing I want you to notice about that commitment is it's a personal commitment. You commit. It says commit thy way unto the Lord. Yes, I can pray for my children. I can pray for those that I see that are going wayward, and I can try to commit them to the Lord. But I'll tell you what, we don't make that decision for them. What we make the decision, though, to do is to commit our own personal way to the Lord. And whatever that thing is that's causing the fret in your life, you need to commit that to the Lord. You see, commitment is a decision. That's a decision point where you say, I'm going to commit. I'm going to leave this at the feet of Jesus and let Him handle it. Commitment is done with the heart. Commitment is done with the mind, and it's a deciding point in your life. What are some of the things that you commit? Well, first of all, we commit our souls to the Lord. Maybe some of you have fretted before and fret often whether or not this salvation that you have is really an eternal salvation. You know, the scriptures tell us over and over again about everlasting salvation. We've got eternal security. Excuse me, we've got eternal security as believers. Our soul is committed to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9 says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. We don't have to fret about whether our souls are kept by God. We need to commit that to Him, stop worrying about it, and let Him keep you, as He's promised that He's going to do. We need to commit our way unto the Lord, as we just saw here in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. When we talk about our way, we're talking about our day-to-day life, the direction that we are going in our life. You see, maybe you haven't committed that. Maybe you're worried about, boy, it just seems like I'm trying to do what's right. I believe that this is what the Lord is having me to do. I believe the Lord's having me to work in this area of my life. I believe He's having me right here in Ravenna, Ohio, to do what He wants me to do. But it just seems like things aren't going right. I'm just worried as to whether or not I'm really following God's will. Anybody worried about whether you're really in God's will or not? Hey, commit that to Him. I got to believe, and I'm going to tell you, the Lord will show you whether or not you're in His will if you commit that to Him. Say, Lord, I'm giving it to You. I believe I'm in Your will right now, but I want to commit this to You. Ask You to show me. Commit your way to the Lord. You see, way is your life. You can't commit the little things, the one little thing over here and the one little thing over here and the one little thing over here and expect to have a victorious Christian life. You've got to commit your life to the Lord. You've got to commit your ways to the Lord. Another thing that you commit to the Lord, though, is your works. We commit our way to the Lord, but we need to also commit our works to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." A lot of time our fretting and our worrying comes around because of things that we've done in our lives, or maybe the things that we have not done in our lives. When we commit our works, that is our actions, the things that we do from day to day. When I wake up on Monday morning, commit my thoughts unto the Lord. Commit the things that come out of my mouth. Commit those things that I'm going to do. Whatever I'm going to accomplish today, Lord, I commit that unto You so that I don't have to worry about whether or not it was the right thing. I'll tell you what, you commit your thoughts unto the Lord, you don't have to worry about whether those thoughts are going to be right or not if you've truly committed them to the Lord. When we start worrying, the first step that we need to do is commit whatever that is that we are worrying about, commit it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm going to give this to You. I don't want to worry about it anymore. You've told me cast all your care upon You because You care for me. So commit it to the Lord. That's a decision point when we commit something to the Lord. Committing the acrostic there is counting on my master in totality. Counting on my master in totality. When we commit something to the Lord, we're trusting that He really, truly is. And those are the last part of that, the toughest part, in totality. Not just a little bit. Okay, Lord, I'm going to give this to You, but I'm going to hang on to some of it because I think I can probably maybe have control and do a little bit better than You. We do that in our lives. Whether we consciously say that or not, we believe that we can do things a little bit better than the Lord does. Can. The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. Don't fool yourself. Don't let your heart fool you. God knows you. Commit it to Him in totality. But then the next thing that we do after we've committed something, remember, commitment is that decision point where we decide that we're going to give it over to the Lord. And now the everyday practice of that commitment is trusting the Lord. The second part of that circle is we commit whatever the problem is. We commit whatever it is that causes us to fret and worry. But then we trust the Lord. And this is the day-to-day practice of what we have committed. Look there in verse 3 of Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord. Trusting means totally resting upon spiritual truths. Totally resting upon spiritual truths. I'll tell you what, no matter what it is in your life that you have that cause or that propensity to fret about something, there's a truth for it in God's Word. You're worried about money? Hey, there's a truth for that in God's Word. You know, He's promised to take care of you. He's promised that He'll never, ever leave you. You're worried about Him leaving you? He's not going to leave you. You're worried about your salvation? He's not going to leave you. You're not going to lose that salvation. You're worried about a lost loved one? There's promises in the Scripture for that. You can pray for them. Whatever it is in your life that causes you to fret, God has a truth for that. Trusting Him is the daily practice of waking up in that morning or when that thing comes into our life, we've decided to give it to the Lord, and then daily we need to trust Him. Because if you're like me, although I may have resolved the issue of fret yesterday when it came to my children, there's still going to be a time in the very, very near future, probably today, that I'm going to start fretting about that again. And the trusting part is the daily interaction that we have with the Lord that says, Lord, I've committed this to You. It's popped up in my mind again. I'm not going to sit here and dwell on the worry portion of it and the fret portion of it, but I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You to handle this in my life. We can trust him to keep us. Psalm 16 and verse 1, the psalmist said, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." Do you fret or do you worry about whether you're going to be protected in your life? In Psalm 36 and verse 7, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." Boy, I love that. There's different shadows in the Bible. When it talks about the shadow of God, there's a shadow of a rock, there's a shadow of a tree, there's his shadow of his hands over us, and there's a shadow of his wings. Man, what protection we get, what comfort we get from the shadow of God's wings. God will protect you. If you're worried about being protected, he's there to protect you. We can trust and not have to worry about whether we're forgiven or whether God is going to be merciful. In Psalm 52 and verse 8, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." I've got to admit to you, there's been times in my life, there's been things that I've done in my life that still pop up into my mind. Boy, I wonder if I'm really forgiven for that. Hey, what did I say? Trusting. Totally resting upon spiritual truths. The spiritual truth in this word of God is we confess our sins. He's faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is merciful. Over and over again, the psalmist talks about how his mercy is everlasting. We can trust him when we're afraid. Have there been times in your life when you've been afraid and you've worried? My mother, as growing up as a child, we were one of those families that had all the dry canned goods underneath of the stairs in the basement, and cans of water and a few guns and ammunition, and we were prepared for World War III. My mom likes to fret about something. Hopefully she doesn't get online and listen to this. And John, maybe you can edit some of this stuff out. All right, but my mom likes to fret. When the weather alerts come up, we grew up in Kentucky, you know, and tornadoes were big down there, and it seemed like every other weekend at that time of year, the tornado sirens were going off. And boy, my mom she liked to fret about those things. But we don't have to. You see, we have protection with the Lord, and at times when we're afraid, and sometimes there's good cause to be afraid, isn't there? Sometimes there's good cause to be afraid, but we don't have to live in worry, and we don't have to fret in those times. In Isaiah 26 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." In Psalm 56 and verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And then, of course, as if that weren't enough, we can cover everything with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." He shall direct thy paths. So, first of all, when fret comes in our life, the thing that we need to do is get a hold of that thing. We need to make a decision in our life that we're not going to worry about that. We're going to give it to God. We're going to commit that thing to the Lord. And then the daily practice of committing that is trusting each and every day. When that thing pops back up in our mind, we're going to trust the Lord to take care of that. The next thing, though, that we need to do to continue on in this cycle of victory is delight. We need to delight. Look at verse 4. Psalm 37, "Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart." See, the thing, most of the time when we try to remove something from our lives, we need to replace that with something else. And delight is the replacement for worrying. We've committed it to the Lord. We're trusting the Lord when it keeps coming into our mind. But now what we need to start doing is just getting our mind off of that and delighting in the Lord. And there's several things that we delight in. Here in this verse, the Bible says, "Delight thyself in the Lord." Hey, it doesn't take a whole lot to start delighting in the Lord if you just start to think about him for a little bit. You start to think about who God is. I was sitting out there, I don't know why I keep calling it hunting, I should call it nature watching or something like that instead. I was sitting out yesterday morning, and it was just a beautiful morning. It was freezing, but it was absolutely beautiful. It was peaceful and quiet. You could hear every little step that squirrels were taking up and down the tree. And it was very easy to just reflect upon the Lord and who he is when you're out in his creation. But so many things about our Lord that we can delight in. Our God is bigger than absolutely any problem that you might fret about. You can take delight in that. You can delight in the Lord and the fact that you know that he can handle absolutely everything that comes your way. Delighting in the Lord is one thing we're supposed to do, but we're also supposed to delight in His Word. In Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, well, in verse 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Delight is an interesting thing. Delight is daily expressing love in God's holy truth. I'll say that again. Delight, that acrostic there, daily express love in God's holy truths. So we delight in the Lord and we delight in His work, but I got to tell you, delight in God's Word, delight in the Lord is something that takes some work on our part. If you want to use the example of an acquired taste, there's a lot of things that maybe you never had a taste for in your life. When I was a kid, I despised spinach. The very smell of spinach was absolutely putrefying to me. I couldn't handle it. I mean, I'd want to leave. If it weren't for my dad saying, son, you sit right there and you eat that spinach, I would have been running to the bathroom. I hated it. But, you know, as you mature and grow up and your wife makes spinach for you, you start to eat those things and you start to, I love spinach. I can't get enough spinach now in my life. The reason, why do I say that? You'll never get a delight in God's Word if you never start tasting of God's Word to begin with. It may start with just 5 minutes in the morning of getting a little bit of taste for God's Word. Before you know it, you start, in that 5 minutes, you start to read things like, the mercy of the Lord is everlasting. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And then you start to discover that, man, there's a lot of things to love about this book. And you start delighting in it more and more. The problem with Christians and the reason why we fret so much in our lives is we don't have enough delight in God's Word, and we don't have enough delight in the things of the Lord. Let me stop here for just a minute. Delighting in the things of the Lord. You know, the same comes when it comes to delighting in the work of the ministry or delighting in that area that God, every single one of you, and we've preached this before, pastor preaches this, every single one of you, as members of this church, saved believers in this fundamental local Baptist church, you have a part in this church. And we should all be delighting in the part that we have to fill in that church. The problem is, so many of us have never tasted of that portion of the work of the ministry that we're supposed to be filling. We've never gotten a hold of that. So, you know, I don't think that the folks that work on the bus, most of them aren't sitting here right now, but some of them are. I don't think before they ever got onto the bus, they didn't say, oh, I love working that bus ministry. I know, don't get me wrong, I know it's hard, I know it's difficult work, and I know the things of the Lord often are. But we can still delight in those things. But those folks that work that bus ministry, which is a grueling ministry, didn't wake up before they ever started and said, oh, I love working the bus. No, they had to experience that thing first before that delight came along. You're never going to develop a delight in the things of the Lord. You're never going to develop a delight in His Word if you don't taste it first. So when fret comes in our life, the first thing we do is we commit it to the Lord. We make that decision that, God, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to do my very best not to worry about it. I'm going to leave it at your feet. And then daily we trust Him. And then we replace that fretting, we replace that worrying with delight in His Word. And then finally what comes is that period of rest. Remember what I said fretting was? Fretting, we forfeit rest every time. We forfeit rest every time. But when we rest in God's Word, when we rest in God, we recover everything Satan took. When we rest, we recover everything that Satan took. Listen, Satan can have victory over the Christian if he's able to cause you to worry. And it doesn't take much to cause us to do that. Satan gets the victory. You start worrying and your mind is totally consumed with whether or not this is going to take place in your life. And all he has to do is to distract you from doing what pleases the Lord, and he's won the victory. That's all he has to do. But when the time comes after we've committed our problems to the Lord, committed our worrying to the Lord, and we trust Him daily, and then we start delighting, then we can find rest in the Lord. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 of Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. In Psalm 16 and verse 9, the Bible says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. You know, we've got hope, not just for the future. I tell you what, it's fabulous to think of the fact that we've got hope that someday our Lord is going to return. If we don't die first, Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to snatch us up out of here, and we're going to be with Him forever in eternity. And we should have great, great hope for that. But our hope doesn't just end right there. We have hope that God's going to take care of us. All these things that we've talked about, the promises that He's given us, we can have hope. Even though you might be going through a difficult time right now, even though there might be cause to worry right now, you've got the promises of God's Word that you can rest assured upon, and because of that, you can have hope that you're going to come out the other end of this better off than what you started. You know that's a promise in God's Word? Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who are the called. All things work together for good. Are you going through a difficult time right now that causes you to worry? It's going to be better when you come out the other end of it. That's a promise from God's Word. That's not something to take lightly. We can rest in that because there's hope on the other side of this fretting. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. The very next verse, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. When I, the very first part of this verse, for a long time, the first thing that I thought of when I, and this is what you hear, right? Take my yoke upon you. And the first thing that we think of is taking something on us, right? We're yoking up, okay? And now all of a sudden, because we're yoked up with Christ, we're co-laborers. I've got something heavy that I need to work for, and Christ is going to help me push it. Think about where you were before you yoked up with Christ. You had an empty partner on that. You know what a yoke is, right? It goes like this, it flattens out, and it goes like that. Hey, if you had a yoke before, and you do, you've got a burden now that you're trying to carry before you yoke up with Christ, it's all on you. It's all on you. So don't think that when we have to, oh, I have to yoke up with Christ, I have to get involved in working, I have to have this big burden on me now. No, it's nothing compared to what you had before you yoke up with Christ. And the second part of it, because we yoke up with Him, we can have rest in our souls. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your soul. I think about, you know, you go into places, anybody ever been, you know, downtown Cleveland and some of the areas that maybe are not the best places to be in? Those are the kind of places that you want to take really big guys with you, right? I like going into places where if I know there's danger around or something, I like to have that, you know, somebody that's like big and tall, like Phil, maybe a little bit bigger, but, you know, but big guys where you feel safe and secure. We'd go into places when we were in Iraq, we'd go into some of these places, and man, I felt a whole lot more comfortable when I knew we had more guns. Okay, when I knew that we were going in there and we had more support, we had more firepower, that's something that you feel comfortable about. You can feel the security. You don't feel quite as heavy of a burden on yourself. That's what yoking up with Christ is. We don't have to carry the burden all on our own. We know that we can cast that at Jesus, and the reality is that when we yoke up with Christ, He just drags us along. He just drags us along. When we learn to commit it to Him, yes, it's work. Yes, we're supposed to work. We're supposed to work hard. It's not an easy life. Don't get me wrong that everything is just, oh, peachy and roses and everything's so easy when it comes to the Christian life. That's not the picture that we're painting. But I'll tell you what, when we learn to commit our things to the Lord, when we learn to trust in Him, when we learn to delight in what He has for us, we find that Christ is the one that is bringing us along. When we look back on our life and we see, boy, I never ever would have made it through that on my own. That thing that I was worrying about, that thing that seemed like it was absolutely impossible, it was impossible in my own strength. But when I cast it down at Jesus, when I yoked up with Him, He brought me through it. We can find rest in the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. As I said, there is a day and time coming. All of these things that we fret about, you name it. You're worrying about finances. You're worrying about your health. And some of us are. Some of you in here, you've got some health problems. Hey, there's coming a day. And you can rest in this even right now, that there's coming a day. No longer are you going to have to worry about the health issues. No longer are we going to have to worry about the evildoers that are in this world. We're not going to be clicking on Fox News when we're in heaven wondering if there's anything bad going on in heaven. Okay? It's not. It's not going to happen. No more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more crime, no more... I don't know. I got to believe there's a part of heaven that's going to have snow for those, the two of us in here that are actually excited about seeing snow. But no more worrying about whether you're going to get into an accident on the way of church or whether your car is going to go off on the side of the road or whether the car is going to start in the morning. You want to have rest? You want to have hope? Just look at the fact that there's a day coming when all of the things that we worry about, not just some of them, not just the big things, the little things, the medium things, the giant things that we worry about, every single one of those things are going to be completely wiped away. Can you rest in that fact right now? Is that a fact? Is that hope, as the Scripture refers to it, that can help you to get through the things that cause you to fret today? That's what hope is all about. I met a guy several years ago, tried to tell me, he sat down with me, and he started showing me passages about hope, and he tried to say, you know, salvation, Brother Mike, it's not something that you know for sure. It's something that you hope for. I said, man, you got that hope all wrong. That hope, when you see that word hope in the Bible, it's not, oh, I hope I'm saved. Oh, I hope there's a day coming when Jesus Christ comes and gets me, all of that. No, it's more like there is a hope for tomorrow. There's a hope for this country. There's a hope in our lives because of Jesus Christ. And the promises, not the hope-so promises, the no-so promises that He's given us that are in His Word. We can hope in those things. What is it that you're fretting about today? Did you wake up this morning fretting about something? Fretting robs you of your joy. It robs you of the peace that you can have in the Christian life, and it robs you of victory in your life. I know that through the Scriptures, and a lot of times you hear messages and lessons about, you know, you've got this set pattern of things to do and your life is going to be okay. Please don't get me wrong. Don't think this is some kind of a magic formula that as long as you follow this little circle, your life is going to be all right. But I tell you, it helps us get on the right direction. So many times in our life, we allow worry to consume us. And we allow worry to distract us, which is what Satan wants us to do, from keeping our focus on Him, keeping our focus on His Word. So when the times in our life come up and fret, maybe this is something that can help you to realize first and foremost, you know what, the first thing I've got to do is commit this thing to the Lord. Then I need to start trusting that, you know, the promises that He's given me in His Word. And I challenge you, you've got something that you're worried about today, I challenge you to not find a promise for that in God's Word. We commit it to Him, we trust Him, and then we need to start delighting. We need to replace that worry, replace that fret by delighting in the things that the Lord has for you to do. Delighting in His Word, delighting in who He is, delighting in the work that He has for you. Then we can find rest because He's fulfilled the promises in our life. But now, again, let me just close this by saying, once you've gotten to that point of rest, cherish it while you have it. Because guess what? The fret's coming again. The worry is coming again. Something else is going to pop up in your life. But don't be like the children of Israel. You see, they soon forget how God had taken care of them. This was a cycle that Israel just liked to make a straight line instead of a circle. And once they came back to that point of fretting, they liked to stay there and hang on to it for a while. Don't be like the children of Israel. when the fretting comes back into your life, remember what God has done for you. Remember how committing your ways to Him, trusting in Him, delighting in Him, led you to that place of rest. Start that cycle of victory all over again. Commit, trust, delight, and you'll find rest. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given to us. Thank You so much for the promises that we have in Your Word. Lord, life here on earth is not easy. It's not simple. It's not free of worries and free of fret. But God, You've loved us so much. You do love us so much. And You provide for us a way. From Your Word, You provide for us truths that help us to understand that we don't have to fret. Lord, I pray that You'd help us when things arise in our life. Help us to lean on You. Help us to commit our ways to You. Help us to commit those things to You that cause us to fret. Help us to trust You. Help us to delight in Your Word. And Lord, You've already promised us that You'll give us the rest. I pray that You'd be with us now as we go into the service to follow. Lord, I pray that You'd be with Brother Rod. Lord, just fill him with Your Holy Spirit. Give him power from on high to preach the message that You have for us to hear. I pray that You'd be with those that are still on their way in this morning. Just ask that You would give them safety on these roads today. And then, Lord, please bless our pastor. Bless his family. Lord, everything that goes on today, the preaching of Your Word, and Lord, the funeral that they'll be a part of. Lord, I just pray for Your blessing. I pray for Your comfort for that family at this time and in the loss of a loved one and a relative. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.